Argue, argue, talk, talk, talk. Exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shout, talk. Talk. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And good afternoon. Fun it is. What a privilege it is to do talk radio in extraordinarily historic times. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1. This is Spouting Off, and yes, I am your proud and hopefully sometimes humble host, Karen Cataline. It's Tuesday, August 14th, 2018. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, that's when this one was taped. It's great. I love podcasts because you never know where they're going to go. If you want to go back and see what was happening and what I was talking about on August 14th, 2018, this is it. So there's a whole lot of crazy going on. I hate to think that it is the new normal, but with Trump in office and crazies going crazy, it seems to be. So we had protesting against non-existent threats so that Antifa and others could justify violent behavior, so Antifa could be the fascist that they're accusing everyone else of being. I have some comments. I didn't want to even talk about Miss Amorosa. I have to say that I did watch The Apprentice years ago for a while. I liked it better when there were real life people and not celebrities. And it taught me a lot about Trump's decision making and executive style. He does shoot from the hip. And I thought it gave us a great glimpse into his executive abilities. I'm going to say this right at the outset because I just put it on Facebook. And that is, this Amorosa thing is absurd and ridiculous, and we have an ugly, ridiculous, I'm going to stop using that word, media, that goes crazy and their hair goes on fire with basically National Enquirer type stuff, stuff that is so petty, ridiculous, and absurd, but yet something that is so profound that should shake all the left to the rafters. They make crazy about going after the NRA with school shootings, but then you find somebody who's actually training kids to do school shootings in New Mexico, and the media covers it up, doesn't want to fully report it, doesn't want to say just how horrible it is. It breaks my heart to see the kind of twisted, tilted, distorted approach to the news for political purposes that we are watching today. That being said, when I read the following tweet by our president, Donald Trump, and I quote, "When you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog." Okay, I know what he was saying. I don't like it. It just makes me cringe. Not because it's about race or about her gender, about her ethnicity, all the stuff the left loses their mind about, but it just is so unnecessary and insulting. You know, I love that Trump shoots from the hip. That's great. And he probably talks like that to everyone. And I do think we need to be desensitized from the notion that words are more important than actions. But this just adds fuel to the fire and no real light. I hate those cliches, but it's true. So I'm perfectly comfortable saying I don't like something Trump does or says, and I don't like this at all. the Facebook post that I just posted that'll go to Twitter is I don't like it. It makes me cringe. Not, I just said this, not because of race, not because it's ugly and unnecessary and unnecessary. It also gives ammo. I'm going to have to fix that on Facebook. It also gives ammo to those losing their mind over words and style, but who can't get worked up about terrorists in New Mexico training kids. There was a dead kid on this compound, and they're training kids while they put them in rags, abuse them, neglect them, teach them violence, put them in harm's way. This kills me. I can get worked up about that. I can have my hair on fire about that. Teaching kids to kill innocent kids. And the kids being taught are innocent too. This is corruption. This is the corruption of minors. This is murder. This is conspiracy to commit murder. This is jihad. And yet we're getting all worked up about Amarosa. This just drives me crazy. So I didn't think it was necessary, Donald J. Trump. Start tweeting about kids, teaching kids to kill in schools. And that it isn't the NRA that's responsible for it. It's jihad training camps in the United States of America. I mean, how is it possible that the media could focus on Amarosa and the soap opera that is this constant petty smearing of a duly elected president, whether you like his manners or not, but they can't adequately report something that profoundly serious, a life or death issue. And what happened? A judge gave him $20,000 bail. So exaggerate the petty stuff while suppressing huge news, which leads me to what I wanted to talk about in this first half, in which I am going to go to town. So a couple days ago, the impossibly arrogant and ignorant, what Joe Pags calls, and I'm going to use it because I love Joe Pags. I think he's phenomenally talented, and he calls them the legacy media. That's the media we used to think did their job, but they don't anymore. Again, they lost their lunch because they were called the enemy of the people. My question to you, why is it so terrible to call the media the enemy of the people? Are they supposed to be beyond reproach? What they actually are is... Why is it so terrible to say this? When they incite, that's a criminal, I've got words today, actionable offense, a criminal offense to incite violence, to incite hatred. That's what they do every day when they keep the low information voters worked up about phony accusations. 49% of this country, according to a study about 3 weeks ago, thinks Donald Trump is a racist. I had a friend in town last week, and I asked her, so what makes Donald Trump a racist? Ask people to back it up. And here's what's happened. At the very first show that I ever did on Spouting Off, I talked about the expansion of words to include definitions they were never meant to include so that we can create larger and larger groups of victims, so we can include larger and larger groups of the aggrieved. The grievance industry has to keep growing. Talk about capitalism. The grievance industry keeps exponentially growing. How do they do it? By expanding the definition of words. Though this friend, who I really respect, talked to her on the phone. This friend who I really respect, smart woman. I asked her, so how is Donald Trump a racist? She said, because he calls human beings animals. I said, do you mean MS-13? He's calling MS-13 animals? She said, yes. I said, well, that is not that this was the best argument in the world, but calling MS-13 animals is not because of their ethnicity. It's because of their behavior. When there's a group that kills innocent people, they make it part of their job to kill innocent people. If you can't get worked up about that, and you call the guy who's worked up about it a racist because he's being uncivil to a bunch of uncivilized people that's killing innocent citizens, I guess my point here is that because of a criminal media, maybe let's not call it criminal, although they are the enemy of the people. They are the enemy of the people. Why? Because they are dividing this country, inciting violence with lies, with criminally negligently leaving out news that could protect you, inform you, give you rational sense. They don't do any of that anymore. They are advocates. And this is wholly irresponsible. When they perpetuate lies and leave out giant aspects of the truth, this is criminally negligent. How could they have succeeded? Who is it that convinced 49% of the American public that Donald Trump is a racist and that it's okay to expand the word racist to mean anybody you call an animal? Even MS-13, even jihadists that blow people up, that strap bombs to their bodies and blow people up. You can't call them animals? Yeah, it's an emotionally charged statement. And if you, I got to quote Donald, I got to quote Dennis Prager, because he's so wonderful. And he coined a phrase, if you will be cruel to the kind, you will be kind. If you will be kind to the cruel, you will be cruel to the kind. That means if you can't get righteously, if you can't develop righteous indignation for kids getting trained to kill other kids in schools. I mean, we've been wringing our hands, and rightfully so, about school shootings. And now we find a training camp in which people are actually being trained in school shootings. When did we ever think that it was a conspiracy? And yet, we've got evidence of it. And did the media report it? No. They did everything they could to cover it up. Now, we could go down a rabbit hole and talk about why they've decided that jihadis are now the new victim group. It happens in Europe a lot. But the fact that an American media that is supposed to serve American citizens is going out of its way to misinform the public, to leave out important facts and important information. We're not talking about tinfoil hats here. We're talking about actual facts in which a judge gave them practically a slap on the wrist. Never mind the fact that Linda Sarsour considers this guy a mentor. And she's been elevated as a feminist, leftist, progressive icon. What kind of a world is it when a jihadist sympathizer can get American women who claim to be feminists to line up while they have pussy hats on their head and they're screaming about Donald Trump, who said something untoward, which he is wont to do, as I said. And she can get them to line up to put keffiyehs on their head in order to have solidarity with a culture that oppresses women. You cannot make this stuff up. You really cannot make this stuff up. I don't have a lot of time because I have a wonderful guest. And I'm going to go back and wax philosophic a little more. But if you'd like to call me and talk about some of these things, I got about 15 minutes before we bring on our illustrious guest. So you can call me right now at 888-627-6008, or you can call direct 323-744-4831. Unless you're listening and it's not August 14th, then you can't call me. You'll have to call me live on Tuesdays at 2 Mountain and 4 p.m. Eastern. You want to know all the ways to get this show live? Go to www.karenkettleen.com and you will find my show. But if you'd like to call right now, you can do so 888-627-6008. I want to give you a little heads up about who we're going to have as a guest. Boy, oh boy, you know, I could talk to him for an hour or two. His name is Casper Stockham. He is a congressional candidate running for the House of Representatives in Colorado. He's an author, a speaker, a business trainer, former Air Force radio host, dad to 3 daughters and 3 granddaughters. And he has a story to tell. He's quite eloquent about a lot of things. I want to talk to him about John James running in running for the midterms, the Black Pack, and also about the growing Black support for Donald Trump. This is important. I think it scares the left right down to their socks. Because after all, the Black community is there to be a reliable Democrat vote. It isn't there for them to actually help them be self-sufficient and self-reliant, because that would lead to a loss of power. When you are living in an ugly inner city in poverty, and you have to fear drive-by shootings, you're living in Chicago where there's murders that are off the scale and looking like a third world country, and it's a Democrat machine that is running that city and telling you that they support the Black community, something is seriously wrong. So we're going to hear from Casper Stockham, who is a courageous Black conservative, and he is quite eloquent. Now, I want to talk about, I wasn't going to talk about Omarosa, but I want to talk about her because she's like the new Stormy. She's the current Stormy Daniels. I mean, this is what they do. They take every possible lack of character person. Look how far down the barrel they have to go. I'm not going to call her a dog or a bitch or any of that. But Omarosa has been a proven liar. She was proven to be a liar, to lack integrity. And what person who signs something saying that you have the honor and the privilege to work in the White House for a duly elected president brings a tape recorder into the Oval Office so she can smear and defame a president? Meanwhile, her biggest claim, which we already know she's a liar, it's stunning, is that she heard there's a tape that claims that Donald Trump used the N-word. Well, if there's a tape, let's hear it, number one. Number two, the left has succeeded in making people believe that the use of a word is way, 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 way worse than teaching kids how to shoot other kids in school. It's way worse than a double murder, as in the O.J. Simpson trial. The minute they succeeded in making people think that this cop used the N-word, whether he did or he didn't, I don't care. It isn't a crime to be offensive. It isn't a crime to be a jerk. It isn't even a crime to use the N-word. The left has tried to completely reorder our sense of priorities. The left has tried to tell you that if you utter the word, even if you don't know the context, if you repeat that somebody else entered the word, we can't say the word because it's so bad. So you have to say the N-word because the mere uttering of the word, regardless of the context, makes you a racist. That is the reordering of sanity and logic and priorities that the left has succeeded in making people think. Can you believe that? I don't believe for 1 minute Donald Trump used it in a racist context. I'm not even sure he ever used it. Because if he did, guess what? There would be a tape. And they don't want you to hear that tape. So First, they elevate Stormy Daniels, a porn star who has sex for strangers, sex with strangers for money, and we're supposed to consider her a credible source. Then we have Amorosa, who tells you she's taped people in the Oval Office. She wrote a book. And we're supposed to take her word for it that Donald Trump used the N-word however many decades ago. This is insanity. We are living in insanity. This is what they've been reduced to. My question is, with the level of utter vitriol that they have for Donald Trump, if this is how far down the rabbit hole they have to go, Donald Trump is probably not a bad guy, even when he does call people dogs, which I don't agree with. If you want to call MS-13 a dog, you know, or an animal, doesn't bother me much. But to call a woman a dog or a fat slob doesn't make me happy. Do I think it is the same level of outrage and sin using words as training kids to kill other kids in school? No. And I'm using that only as an example. The left has a long list of things that they ignore, that they don't think are important enough to report. Things like the FBI put out a phony document that they knew was phony. I refuse to call it opposition research. Opposition research, which means you are doing research on another candidate that you're opposing, usually is true. Not always, but it's usually true. This was a fabricated bunch of lies the FBI knew was a lie, which they lied to a FISA court judge in order to get a warrant and to abuse their power to spy on their political opponent, which they knew that if he ever, God forbid, were to be elected, he would out them and all the dirty tricks they've been playing. Do I know what those are? Heck no. But I think this is the tip of the iceberg. That is what they were after. And I was on the radio this morning. I do a lot of national radio lately on other shows, maybe because of the article that I wrote called Donald Trump is dragging us kicking and screaming into peace and prosperity. So it's really a lot of fun to talk to other talk hosts around the country to see how they think, what their style is. But I said this morning that this is absolutely the tip of the iceberg. I believe Donald Trump has a magical gift. I think it's intentional for exposing the lies and the phony in Washington. And he's got his work cut out for him because there's a lot of it. A lot of it. He's no saint, but he never claimed to be. These people who are lying phonies have claimed to be. They are the ones telling everyone that they should be that Donald Trump, they're so outraged by Donald Trump. Never mind, he's put forth a more conservative agenda than they ever could have hoped of putting forth, that the reason they don't like him is he's just not statesmanlike, right? Well, if a statesman is a person who is airbrushed, media trained, and who is just a better liar than Donald Trump, who, if he was a liar, he wouldn't be making faux pas. And that's been true of him for 2 years and more. Then I'll take the bull in the china shop every day and twice on Shabbos. I am happy to take the bull in the china shop because we've needed this come to Moses moment. Do you see all those little Jewish references? That is tacky of me, right? Okay, so back to Amorosa. Amorosa is just the latest Stormy Daniels. You're going to see a long line of I don't mind calling her a lowlife. I don't really like ad hominem attacks. I think people's behavior speaks for themselves. Amorosa is a clear liar, and she is an opportunist who's trying to make money off a book by lying, cheating, and stealing. And she knows she has a very, very friendly media which is going to report anything that she says. What did she do as soon as she got fired? She ran off and wanted to get on another reality show. She's a reality TV star. Now, Donald Trump is not a reality TV star. Donald Trump is a free market builder phenomenon. He's an extraordinary businessman, and he has successes to prove it. Do I think he's brash? Yes. I lived in New York. I know how New Yorkers think, and he's being the way New Yorkers talk and think. And because he doesn't care, how could you possibly care what people think when people trash you and are proud of showing you with a severed head because they hate you that much? How could you possibly have thin skin? Donald Trump has the skin of an armadillo. And so he's willing to be his brash self. I'm on record. I don't like it. So we've gone full circle. And now I want to leave time for our commercial break so that we can come back and give lots of time to our wonderful guest, Casper Stockham. So please stay tuned. Stay tuned after the break, and we'll meet a multi-talented candidate for public office, Casper Stockham. This is Karen Cataline on BBS Radio Station 1. You're listening to Spouting Off, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Hadley, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on the great principle of equality set forth by the Declaration of Independence.
The great Abraham Lincoln described the Constitution as a picture or frame of silver, built to guard or protect an apple of gold. This apple of gold was the Declaration of Independence and its principle of equal rights for all. This principle of equal rights, Lincoln said, clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. There are many today who seek to limit or distort this great principle by employing a distorted definition of equality, an equality of condition or outcome, regardless how people live their lives. This distortion, if generally accepted, will lead to an America less prosperous and less free.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
We're back. Thanks for coming back with us to Spouting Off. I am just delighted to have as my guest Casper Stockham. He is a congressional candidate in Colorado U.S. House District 1. He's an author, a speaker, a business trainer, and an analyst. He's a former Air Force, so thank you for your service, Casper. Radio host, he does marriage counseling with his wife. And he's a dad, 3 daughters and 3 granddaughters. Welcome to Spouting Off, Casper Stockholm.
I am happy to be here with you.
Great, great. We have so much to talk about because there's so much going on. So just to get started, one of the things that has been a bit of a phenomenon lately has been the walk away movement. And you made a walk away video that I watched. If you could give walk away, just for our listeners so they know, is a gay hairdresser decided to walk away from the Democrat Party, and he did so with aplomb and style by making a very compelling video about why he decided to walk away from the Democrat Party. So you made, and a lot of people are being encouraged to make walk away videos. There's actually even a whole Walk Away Colorado branch, I guess you could say, of walk away. And you made a really great video. Tell our listeners what the essence of that walk away video is all about.
Sure, sure. So for your listeners, I grew up on the East Coast in Connecticut. And I grew up as a progressive liberal. Now, I never registered as a progressive liberal, but you know, by the time I was 17, I really hated all things Republican and most things white. And I'm not even sure why or how that happened. It's just, you know, the environment that I grew up in. So,
and just for the record, so people know, Casper, you are not white yourself. I mean, a lot of people hate whites who are white. You happen to be black. Okay.
Now, fast forward to today, I love everybody. I'm a Christian, and I love everybody and everything. But back then, I was very militant, very upset at the world. So I was, I went into the military, and I was in the military in a training program that allowed for minorities to be trained as officers, but we could have low grades and stay in the program. Now, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us now, but back then they were trying to get more black and Hispanic youth or whatever into the program to become officers. And as I was in that program, and I was getting good grades, so I really didn't even need the help. I was getting good grades. Everything was fine. But when Reagan took office, one of the first things his administration did was cut that program. And I thought, man, those Republicans are, you know, they're at it again, you know, trying to take stuff away from us poor minority people. But what I realized after a lot of self-reflection is that, first of all, we want our officers to be the sharpest, brightest people on the planet. So why on earth would we create a program to dumb down our officer ranks? I was getting good grades, so I really had no fear of being removed from class. All they did was take away the safety net. So now I had to get good grades just like everybody else in class. So I'm sitting next to a white guy and an Asian guy and whoever and people. My grades had to be competitive and passing so that I could continue on and become an officer. And that started my walk away, you know, my personal walk away moment, if you will, because I realized that I didn't need that program. Even though as much as I thought I wanted it, I really didn't need it. And I started looking at all these programs, you know, the same way.
You know, Casper, I wonder if, you know, you're good, you know, you're smart, you know, you're capable. When you're given a program like that, I don't know, isn't it kind of insulting, condescending to think that because you're black, you need to be spotted 25 points?
Right. It's very insulting, you know, but at the time I thought it was the best thing because I needed help. I thought I needed help, and I found out that I didn't need help. But in between that time, see, because I thought I needed help, and that's where the majority of the inner city community is. They think they need that kind of help. Now, there are some things they do need, and we can hopefully get into those, but they don't need to be treated like a lesser human being in order to be successful.
Like victims.
Exactly.
I was victims.
Thank you. Yes.
Ranting for a while about the fact that in order for the left to be able to get votes, they seem to need to make every one of their constituencies victim groups so that they'll be dependent on government for the answer.
Yeah, yeah. And I fight that every day. So I'm in the community right now, every day, or at least several times a week, conducting workshops, teaching youth in the community how to get a job, keep a job, and excel at that job. We're also teaching them how to start businesses if they don't want a job. And I have to fight that mindset every time I go in because they're like, well, you know, we can't do that without the government. I'm saying, you don't need the government. All you need to do is decide this is what you want to do, and I am here to help you do it.
Let me ask you, Casper, you know, there is a stunning statistic. There's lots of stunning statistics, one of which I said last half hour is that 49% of people, thank you to the media, believe that Donald Trump is racist, and we can go back to that. But the other stunning, one of many stunning statistics, is that we have the lowest black unemployment rate on record. So when you go into the black community in your constituency in Denver, black and not black, do they know this? What do they think about that? What do they say about it?
So what they say is, and they definitely know about it, what they say is, well, thanks to Obama setting it up for Trump, that's how come it's happening now. And I said, really? So he couldn't figure this out in 8 years. He couldn't make it happen under his watch. He set it up so that the next president can, you know, make it happen. Come on, that's just, you know, but that's
the mindset
that they're in. Yeah.
What do you say to them about that when they say that?
I say I don't see how you could even come up with that conclusion. But you know, that's where their mindset is, and that's the fight that I struggle with it every time I talk to them.
Well, and the other thing that you and I know as principled conservatives, well, at least I won't put words in your mouth, but I haven't seen any joy in Mudville on the left-hand side for people getting jobs. It seemed as if they went more out of their way to make people dependent on government and to increase the welfare rolls and the food stamp rolls. They didn't seem to want their favored constituencies to be self-reliant.
Right. Here's what's scary, Karen, is that I was at an NAACP meeting this past Saturday. And I was invited to speak, so I had a chance to share with the audience. And, you know, I got some positive head nods and everything else. And I told them, I said, and the leader of the meeting, the president of that chapter, his mother just happened to be one of my former students in our entrepreneurial workshop. So we helped her start her business at 67 years old. She's excited about life. She's excited about her business. She re-enrolled in college because she needs more business courses. She self-enrolled back in college because she needs more business courses to help her run her business. He introduced me to the audience and told them that brief story. I got up there and shared some of the things I've already shared with you and your audience, and we'll share some more. And I said, you know, if you are supporting someone who's fighting for you to have minimum wage, you need to run from that person.
Well put.
You would have thought that I would have got, you know, a standing ovation for that comment. Well,
really?
I didn't get a standing ovation. In fact, I didn't get any standing ovations during my talk. Now, the Democrat running for Congress, not my opponent, but running in a different district, he got up there and he just said, "Vote Democrat," and the audience erupted in applause.
Wow.
He didn't offer any solutions. He didn't offer any ideas. He didn't offer anything other than saying that you should vote Democrat. And they broke out in cheers.
So let me ask you, Casper, what, having been out in the trenches of left-wing la-la land, whatever, in the black community and elsewhere, and just for our listeners, you're running in Denver proper.
Yeah.
running against someone who I won't mention, who is like a career state house representative. Well, I can mention her. I don't care. And you're challenging her for the second time. My question is, so what does work when you're dealing with, and there's some people it's not going to work, but you're talking to some really entrenched, dedicated, dyed-in-the-wool Democrats who believe the Democrats care about them more than Republicans do because they want to make them mascots. What works? What do you say to them that you've seen real results when you talk to them?
Right. So the good news is, I mean, I shared some of the bad news with you. The good news is leaders like this NAACP president and others are starting to have a very open mind towards just looking at things differently. In fact, I invited this individual to a Tea Party meeting, and hopefully this month we'll be going to a Tea Party meeting because I want him to see. And he agreed because I want him to see the truth. And you and I both know the truth because, you know, we've been in it, we lived it. In fact, we met the other day at the Tea Party event. But he is under the belief that the Tea Party is racist and all these other things. And I'm telling him that's not the case. But me telling him and him seeing it for himself is a totally different deal. So there are leaders in the community who are changing. When I talk to the rank and file individuals, right, here's the thing. When I talk to them separately, not in a group like that, but when I talk to them separately, 98% of the people I talk to agree with what I'm saying.
So it's peer pressure, partly. There's a peer pressure that says that you're supposed to credit Barack Obama for whatever the reason. You're supposed to hate Trump for whatever the reason. And privately, and that happens in all communities where people have been bullied into staying quiet about what they really think.
Yeah. And that's exactly what's happening. People are being bullied into silence. But when I talk to them individually, I mean, like I said, very few people disagree with what I'm saying because I'm talking about helping the community. I've had people attack me on Facebook and they said, well, do you support 45? And I'm saying, what does 45 have to do with the inner city community and what we're trying to do? You know,
does because he's helping the inner city community. 45 being the one that Maxine Waters wants to impeach a day before he was inaugurated.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong. I definitely credit him for the low unemployment rates and things like that. But the work I'm doing, I'm not getting any help from anybody. No politician is helping me do what I'm doing. I'm pulling money out of my own pocket to help that 67-year-old lady and others start businesses. We've gone to the politicians and talked to Democrats, Republicans, city council people, mayors, governors, gubernatorial candidates. I've talked to them, Republican and Democrat, and nobody has really stepped up to help me do what we're doing in the inner city. So I know we're doing the right thing. We're going to continue to do the right thing. And the rank-and-file individuals in the inner city see that. And that's what gives me great hope and promise for this. You have
endless, amazing energy, Casper. That is for sure. You touched on something that I want to get into a little bit more deeply. Mm-hmm. I have railed and railed and railed at the left's tactic, which they've been using for really decades now, to call everyone they disagree with a racist.
Yeah.
Donald Trump was sucked up to by black and gay communities alike and all the rest before he decided to run for president with an R after his name. And just like clockwork, he's a racist, he's a racist, he's a racist. So the left has succeeded in making people think that if you disagree with the policies of Barack Obama, you're a racist. If you agree with the policies, if you don't like Obama, you're a racist. If you do like Trump, you're a racist. If you put your shoes on left versus right, you're a racist. The expansion of the word racist has gotten them so much mileage and so much political capital. What kills me is that people buy it. People actually buy this stuff. And it's insulting because it waters down the charge of real racism. Like, oh, I don't know, when the jihadists want to murder innocent people because they're not Muslim. That's right. Racist.
Exactly.
So if you could speak to that, when someone calls either a white person a racist or this political tactic that the left continues to employ, because it's still working, what do we got to do? Give us a prescription, Casper, for finally nipping this one in the bud.
Yeah. So, and I talk about this every day with my Republican friends. And, you know, because the community is going to continue to do that until we start showing up and proving otherwise. Now, herein lies the problem, because Republicans say, well, you know, I'm not interested in going into the inner city to be called names, racist or whatever. So
how do you prove a negative? How do you go in and prove you're not a racist? It's like someone sticking a mic in your face and saying, when did you stop beating your wife?
Exactly.
And so it's a trap. It's a trap on purpose. They call us racist. So the minute someone says, I'm not a racist, then they'll laugh at you.
Right. So the solution is not to go in and say, I'm not a racist. The solution is to go in and start doing something positive in the community like I'm doing. If Republicans en masse started supporting me in the efforts in the inner city, and by the way, there are some. I'm not saying there's not any doing that, but if we did that in mass, if we start showing up, those titles and labels will start to fall away. It's not that we have to prove anything. All we're doing is showing them that we're human just like they are. We care about our children just like they do and so forth. Just like I'm doing with this NAACP leader. I'm taking him to a Tea Party meeting, hopefully this month, to show him the truth. And the truth will set him free. Now, it's going to be hard for him now to go back and claim, you know, that racist rant, because he will now know that it's not true. And this individual is very open-minded. He's still a registered Democrat, but he is open at least to hearing both sides of the discussion.
Yeah, it's a very tough problem because it's being used as a political battering ram.
Yeah.
And it works amazingly well. And now they've moved on to misogynist, woman hater, xenophobe. You disagree with secure borders, you're a racist. There isn't a Republican candidate that I can think of in memory running for U.S. House or U.S. Senate that really hasn't been called a racist. I ran for office in 2002, a long time ago, against a lesbian who was ready to become Speaker of the House. And wow. And I was in the theater for 30 years. And what did they do? They said I was anti-gay, and they used it to raise money.
Yeah.
So they really need for the racism and all of that stuff to continue. As a matter of fact, you know, we don't have a lot of time, but look at this latest brouhaha, this ridiculous thing, the Antifa movement. What really is amazing on the anniversary of Charlottesville is that the people that were the agents provocateur claiming to be white supremacists, they're leftists too. They've been proven to be leftists too, because they have to manufacture racism in order to give the Antifa criminals something to fight against and to justify their violent behavior. Oh my God. I mean, can you just comment on that? I mean, it's stunning. Watching.
Yeah. And there were 21 of them from across the nation that showed up in DC. You know, so the whole thing, now there are white supremacists out there, whatever, but that hasn't been an issue or a problem since the 50s and 60s or whatever, you know, a long time ago. White supremacy is not an issue today, but they are definitely using it to gin up or you know, get the base fired up about Trump and everything else. They always try to link it back to Trump. And it wouldn't matter who's in there, you know, like you're saying. They're going to call whoever is in there a racist, you know, like they called you a racist. They even try to call me a racist or a racist. Racist helper or whatever they call me. You know,
oh, right. They call you probably an Uncle Tom because you dare to have an opinion of your own.
Yeah.
The problem is I've never
I messed them up when they called me Uncle Tom, because Uncle Tom was the hero in the story. So I said, thank you for calling me Uncle Tom. I appreciate that.
Casper, it is so maddening, you know, because it just it's frustrating. So I haven't seen a strategy for counteracting it that I think is all that effective. Yeah, I agree with you. Go into the community and help, but people just want to live their lives and not be smeared as a racist simply for having a difference of opinion. Not everybody feels the need to have to go into the Black community to prove themselves what they want. The interesting thing is that if you aren't a racist, you're not going to spot them a bunch of stuff. You're going to say, you know what? You can do it. You can do it.
But here's why I say what I believe is the answer, because it's been the answer throughout time. You know, when somebody says, well, you know, how do you go into a community as a, the Christians that go into villages and everything else? Well, you know, you go in and you say, okay, well, how can I help? Okay, you don't go in and open up the book to, you know, John 3:16. You go in and say, how can I help you? Okay, well, you know, we need water. Great. You know, we need a well dug. We need a school built. You know, you go in and do stuff. That's where we're failing. We're not going in to do things. We're going, you know, we're sitting outside saying, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, instead of going in and saying, here are the straps, here are the steps, here's what you do. That's what I'm doing, and that's what Republicans could be supporting to help me. And we would change this dynamic. If we did this in every major city, we would flip the entire script. You know. But
well, I give you a lot of credit. I give you a lot of credit in doing that. And I do agree that because the left has owned these cities, created these political machines that have created a level of government dependency that causes people to think that they are helpless and hopeless, I think reaching out is absolutely important. The way we do it is extremely important.
It's the only answer, right? It's the only answer, because if we don't do that, we're going to continue to lose ground in those areas. So we have to go on the offense.
Donald Trump is doing it. Donald Trump is doing it by creating more job opportunities, and the more a person works for a living, I think the less likely they're going to be susceptible to leftist lies that say that they need government in order to exist.
Absolutely. So the Black unemployment rate, Hispanic unemployment rate has just dropping. So that's causing more and more Black and Hispanics to voice their support for Trump. That is happening now. In fact, it's double what it was during the election.
It's miraculous.
That's huge. Yeah.
And you know what? Just for the record, the Republican establishment that were desperate to have that exact thing happen, they don't like it happening because Trump did it.
Right.
So it exposes them for the disingenuous people that they are. In the minute or two we have left, why don't you tell everybody how people can get a hold of you, what sort of support you're looking for. You do not have to live in Casper's district to contribute to his campaign. He's challenging a career leftist politician, and with your help, he could unseat her. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the better I do, the better the state does. Any candidate running in City 1 has to get better than 30%+ in order for any gubernatorial candidate on the Republican side to have a chance. So the more they support me, regardless of where you live in Colorado, if you want Walker Stapleton, you know, to be the governor, or you want to have a Republican governor, you need to support the CD1 candidate during those cycles. This is one of those times. So I have a very simple plan to win, not to just do well, to win. I need to raise $300,000. I need to touch 200,000 voters in the district. There's roughly about 500,000 now, so I need to touch at least half of those voters. And I need 100 volunteers to help me make that happen.
And I also think that because we have a national audience here, that you don't have to live in Casper's district to send them a check. Every little bit helps. You can send them a check for $20, for $15, and tell others to do the same. Put them on your Facebook page. Support them, because just like John James, right? John James, yes, is running in are you partnering up in Michigan, I think it is, for U.S. Senator. He is the Republican candidate. He's a Trump supporter, happens to be Black. Are you in touch with him? Can you kind of join forces with him in some way, so, just to let him know that you're a Black conservative and you, you know, toe the company line?
Right. So I've tried to reach out to his campaign. We have not heard anything back from him yet. There are 8 Black candidates, male and female, all military or former military, who are either running for Senate and or Congress across the nation.
Wow.
There's an organization called the Black Pack who is trying to get us exposure with the White House and with other organizations to help support us in this effort. That alone would just send shockwaves through the nation, because supporting us out there is going to help the conservative message grow.
Casper, how can people give money to the Black Pack? That's a cool idea.
Yeah,
I'll put that on my website.
Yeah, I'll have to get you the link, because it's not spelled exactly like it sounds. But it's a, it's a political action group, and they're raising money for all of us, you know, for all the candidates.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So,
Black Pack, Google it. Google Black Pack, and definitely go to Casper Stockham's website. Give it again for us, okay?
It's Casper for Colorado. It's the word for Colorado.com.
You also have a www.projectpurpose.com if you're interested in some of the other things that Casper does for the community. You just have an endless amount of energy. And we're proud to have you on. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us on Spouting Off. Please go to Casper's website, give him money, find out what Black Pack can do to knock the socks off the Democrats, okay? Thank you. Thanks again, Casper, for joining us.
I appreciate it. Take care.
Great. Pleasure having you. That's all the time we have. Thank you to Doug, my producer at BBS Radio, and HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when we'll have a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.